May all universally deny that Joe and I am authorship of the fourth gospel. And this is one reason. He is so mercilessly clear on those truths of the Catholic faith, like Christ's divinity, like Mary's divine maternity, like the real presence. You might also have told your friends or tell your friends on the Protestants who do not believe in the real presence, by the year 1600, that's 83 years after Martin Luther broke with the Catholic Church, St. Robert Bellarmine found over 200 interpretations of the meaning of Christ's words at the Last Supper. This is my body, this is my blood. Having taught in 6 Protestant seminaries, having over the years had taught many courses in Protestant theology, the two principal errors for us Catholics of Protestantism are the very ones that I told you are the main reason for people leaving the Catholic Church. Historically, they left the Catholic Church because of the Church's uncompromising position on the indissolubility of sacramental consummated Christian marriage. And the second reason, Luther, having left the Catholic Church, that's, by the way, why we have Halloween. There'd be no Halloween except for Protestantism, to make a mockery of Catholic faith in all the saints. Oh, how totally brainwashed many Catholics have become. Well, then secondly, denying the indissolubility of Christian marriage, which is historically the reason why Luther broke with the Catholic Church. Then, having been a priest for 15 years, he logically had to justify his leaving the priesthood. So he wrote book after book, denying the necessity of the priesthood. Why do we have to have priests? The single most fundamental reason is that we might have the sacrifice of the Mass and have the real presence. Having rejected his own priesthood, then Luther wrote book after book denying the necessity of the priesthood. One thing you must give what we call the heresiarchs. They are the leading, the chief heretics. They are smart. They don't miss a thing. And those are the two errors that are plaguing the Western world today among Catholics. You don't close 42 parishes in Detroit or 62 in Chicago without a reason. The final reason is those two articles of our faith. And the Catholic Church will survive, as I keep saying, only with our people still left who believe that Christian consummated marriage is indissoluble and that Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, who is the Son of God, is on earth in flesh, physically present in the Eucharist. And what's happening to so many church edifices is a reflection of the weakening and the loss of that faith. Oh, what I could not say, how specific I could be, what names I could name. And that is why, thanks for coming. That's why I'm coming here, to keep our faith alive. What's happening now has been going on since. For our purpose, since Christ made the promise of the Eucharist in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. So what's new? Oh, what's new is that so many of these ex-Catholics insist on parading. Talk about a Halloween party. Talk about walking around in disguise. They're not Catholic. John is the one who gives us the long discourse of Jesus at the Last Supper. Is the longest sustained narrative of Christ in the Gospels. And remember, absolutely speaking, had John been martyred, which he could well have been because of the attempts on his life, but God spared him to wait until there had been, listen to this, enough heretics, enough heresies to then justify writing a gospel to, well, refute those heresies. Including, of course, Christ's divinity and his real presence. And at the Last Supper, Christ's discourse, as we know, was mainly about the love that those who believe in Christ are to have for one another out of love for Christ. And finally, it was John who recalls the story of Christ's making Peter the head of the church on earth. Why? Because the primacy, the papal primacy, was already denied and rejected in the first century. And the rejection of the denial came from whom? From bishops. And as John again, in his Apocalypse, or the book of Revelation, who describes, remember the bishops, this is Christ relating to John about the different kind of bishops then in that early church, end of the first century. Not all were good bishops. And then John quotes our Lord, calling them some very bad names. And you better reform, or else. That's John. Now some practical recommendations. I have to be exact, 12. Though I spoke for the next 10 days and spoke only on this subject of meditating on the Gospels, I could not tell you how important that is. And whatever else you do as a result of these classes, not just know but do, if you do begin, if you have not yet begun, if you do not begin to meditate on the Gospels, then I have wasted your time. I mean it. In today's world, no one, no Catholic can survive in the church. I couldn't make my language more clear. No Catholic can survive in the church without daily meditation on the Gospels. I mean it. For there is Christ himself, with his words and his actions, teaching us. Now, some practical recommendations. Know beforehand on what event in Christ's life you will meditate. I think I told you it is a very good idea to meditate on the gospel for that day. Now, there is an option of gospels, say when you either have a saint's feast or what we call a ferial day, two different gospels, well, then you've got your choice. But most of the days in the year have one gospel specified. Now, I'm not sure whether I ever asked you people, do you people have access to, do you have a source for knowing what are the gospels for each day of the year? How many have such information? Accessible? Good. Everybody should have it. And I've been doing this for years. In the Society of Jesus, we have what we call the Jesuit Order. Called Jesuit Order, 1992-93, or Jesuits of the United States Assistancy. In other words, the major countries in the world are divided in the Jesuit Order into what we call assistancies. The United States is an assistancy. For example, for tomorrow, October the 25th, is not a feast day. Gives you different information, but the gospel is Luke 13, verses 10 to 17, and even a short sentence. This daughter of Abraham, was it not right to untie her on the Sabbath day? In other words, what did Christ do? He worked a miracle on the Sabbath. After having performed the miracle, his enemies, well, criticized him. Then Christ is asking them, well, are you telling me we cannot perform an act of charity on the Sabbath? And what an act of charity, a miracle. In any case, I would recommend to all of you, now, what I can do, it's still time before the first Sunday of Advent of this year, which is about a month away. If anybody don't show, is it, I think, how much they cost? $4. Is it $4? I think it's $4. At any rate, I can order copies. Anybody would want copies. And if you wouldn't mind doing this, let me.
Are you talking about for next year, 93-94?
This is 93-94. And why don't we do this? Let's not do a non and spend time during class and filling out. Let's say, after the break, we'll have a paper passed around, sign your names, if you would want to order a Jesuit ordo. That's what ordo and ordo means. Order. Okay. There's much more to it. So know beforehand, because what happens? If you know beforehand, you're thinking about what you're going to meditate on. St. Ignatius recommends that you think of that the night before. And, honest, if you do that the night before, even your dreams will change. Gosh. That's hypnotic. And if you want to have the right kind of thoughts in the morning, be sure you have the right kind of thoughts before you retire. Second recommendation, divide the event into a few points. That's Ignatius' language, few parts. Ignatius recommends three. Thus, the first 50 meditations of St. Ignatius in the spiritual exercise, and then I have read as follows. I don't have the text here. With 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Always in honor of the Holy Trinity. So the Annunciation. 1, 2, 3. The angel appears and he speaks. That's point one. Then Our Lady talks to the angel. That's part two. And then the angel, what does he say? How does the angel answer Our Lady? Nothing?
How shall this be done?
The Holy Spirit would overshadow
you. Nothing. The Holy Spirit would overshadow you. But nothing is impossible with God. And then the third point, of course, is the most important, where Mary says, be it done to me according to your word. And this, by the way, I cannot tell you how important this is in understanding our faith. And the faith, by definition, is our acceptance of God's revealed word. However, the faith is not a feeling. The faith is not an emotion. The faith is a judgment made by the mind, assenting to what? I understand God revealed. What did Mary do? At the Annunciation, she made an act of faith. And the moment she pronounced the words, be it done to me according to your word, at that moment, God became man. In other words, and having had years of graduate studies in science, my doctoral studies in chemistry, pulled out of science and put into theology, when I found out, and I want to share with you, theology is a science. And those who don't realize it's a science, they are the ones that are causing us so much trouble. All kinds of vague ideas. They call them weasel words they use. They never get down and tell you this is it. When God reveals, he tells us this is it. And consequently, dividing our meditations into mathematical numbers is not at all strange. In fact, it's perfectly consistent. It's consistent with the nature of revelation. Truth, of course, is in the mind, but what is in the mind is specific, is definite. Number four, before you start meditating, place yourself in God's presence. I must by now, for some of you have said this 50 times in different contexts. The secret is to consciously be aware that I am not in God's presence. In whose presence are most of us most of the time? our own presence. And remember we said the essence of being in the presence of anyone is to be thinking of the person whom I love. Having loving thoughts or thinking lovingly. And the one that we're always, of course, we hide it. All kinds of ways we can mask our profound, deep, mystical self-love. Lost in ecstasy in the adoration of the one God that most human beings adore themselves. I'm not being rhetorical, by the way. We've got to go out of our way and make ourselves aware of the presence of God. Speak to Him. Number 5, make a preparatory prayer. Oh God, grant that all the actions, intentions, and operations of this spiritual exercise may tend solely to the praise and glory of Your divine majesty. Doesn't matter what we say, that's what I was taught 50 years ago. And I'm still saying it. And, well, you also make a gesture. We were taught, always when we start a meditation, make an act of the presence of God, and then not just bow, but literally touch the ground with your head, either with the forehead or with the lips. Bowing. I just make sure the door is closed and that I do this every day. So make a preparatory prayer. 6, recall in memory the situation on which you will meditate. It's a good thing to have those, call them points for meditation, planned beforehand, even written out. And over the years, I cannot tell you, not just hundreds, but several thousand such syntheses over the years, being under training, I was making. Number 7, picture in your imagination the event on which you are reflecting. One thing that may surprise some of us is the fact that these meditations are not meditations as such on ideas. They are rather meditations on events. Events that occurred, on words that are used. And this is one of the great dangers that, given the two forms of prayer, vocal prayer that people will be praying using words, but the mind may be 1,000 miles away, or maybe, not 1,000 miles away, very close. Lost in rapture in thinking about, myself. And with mental prayer, the danger there is that a person may make the prayer so speculative, so intellectual, that it's hardly prayer anymore. The advantage, therefore, in meditating on an event or on words is that you bring yourself down to, down to earth. Number 8. Start with part 1. Do it even have? Yeah. I don't even have part two, because Ignatius says, if you're doing well in your meditation on part one or point one, don't go on. Don't be in a hurry. The last thing you do, when you meditate, the last thing is do speed reading. And this, by the way, is almost a diagnosis of the intellectual disease of a country like ours. Accumulating a lot of ideas, and never getting to the root of a single idea. Some people have never thought through a single idea in their lives. I know. I've taught them. Read the words of the gospel. See with your imagination the persons. Hear what they say. And when I, over the years, have been teaching this as a course in spiritual theology, my students, especially my Jesuits, would ask me, my gosh, that's so childish. I'm not used to that. Oh, my friend, have you thought maybe of starting? In other words, there's a childlike simplicity about meditation. Hear what they say. Seek to understand what the actions and words mean. Why the angel Gabriel? Why him? Remember what he had just finished? He finished an assignment, remember? With whom?
Zachary.
With Zachary. And so the same angel was sent to Mary. To whom did he come? And it's remarkable. Now, having, say, read or heard read maybe 1,000 or more times the Annunciation narrative and gospel, I never realized these are the words. Oh, by the way, may I ask, what did the angel say?
Hail, full of grace.
Hail? Did the angel address Mary by name?
No.
Okay. Oh. Hail, full of grace. And are those the words he used? Hey, full of grace.
Yeah.
Yes. And the church for centuries has believed that. That's why we have the Hail Mary. And then, what does full of grace mean? In other words, now here's the beauty of it. You're meditating on the scriptures which are the revealed word of God. You're in God's presence because you made yourself so. And then you are, in effect, asking yourself, but in God's presence, what assurance do you have that when you are in God's presence and you're asking for what something means, what assurance do you have that God will tell you what it means? This may come as a surprise, hope not to too many of you, but I know of nothing, no single recommendation I could make in a spiritual life, and I can make 1,000. None, in my judgment, is more fundamental than in the presence of God, prayerfully to ask God what something means. Because it's the meaning, It's the meaning which is the ground of our motivation. Our wills, as we've heard so often, are blind faculties. They cannot think. The mind must provide the ideas for the will. But ideas have meaning. And remember that parable of the sower. The seed falling on different kinds of ground. Oh, the fourth, the last kind of soil was fruitful. And the first soil produced nothing. Remember why? Because corresponding to the seed falling on the wayside, this is the word of God. Falling on the wayside, shall we say, sown on the mind. What a difference between the word of God being sown on the mind and being sown in the mind. To penetrate the mind. What happened to the first seed? Produced nothing. Why? Because the birds had a feast. They picked it up. And then what does Christ say? They are those who, having received the word of God, fail to understand it. I could not talk for 8 days, 8 hours a day, on the transcendent importance of understanding the meaning of what we believe. Most people don't. I know it. They don't. You quote somebody who will have a meaning. They don't even know what that person means by his meaning. So what does full of grace, just to use that as an example, what does it mean? And what was the message? But then, and this is crucial, what does this mean to me? In other words, every statement that we find in the Gospels has a meaning for each one of us. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. And God is speaking to each one of us individually, personally. We go on. Number 9, apply these thoughts to yourself. And whatever you do, don't rush. Most Americans are in a hurry. But the worst kind of hurry is speed of the mind. It takes time for ideas to penetrate. So why did the angel come to Mary? Because she was humble. Because of her deep faith. Because she was chaste. And then I ask myself, how deep is my faith? How deep is my humility? How deep is my chastity? And our faith, humility, and chastity are being tested, and I mean it, as never before in the history of the world. You don't have, as we have in our United States, bishops coming out in defense of homosexuality without your faith. What word shall I use? Being tried, being tempted. You don't have, as I think I told you? Was it in this class? We had a full page ad by the Seamless Garment Network. Remember? Look at that. We shouldn't be so narrow-minded as to concentrate on, well, you know, the right to life and against abortion. We should, well, take a broader perspective and consider, well, the right to life of a condemned major criminal. We should be concerned about war. That become convinced that all war is unjust. Is it? Is all war unjust?
No.
No. We should be concerned about other forms of life and not just human life. Like the whales, remember? And there are bishops behind this. I'd rather crawl under this building 60 feet deep than talk this way. But talk this way I must. Otherwise, I would have been telling you what we are going through in our world today. A deep faith. A deep humility. And a deep chastity. And I mean a deep chastity. I was in California yesterday, and just before I left, back for Detroit. What did I read? This is the San Francisco Chronicle for October the 22nd, so that was Friday's paper. And this is full page of relationships, a great way to meet people. These are ads. Female to male relationships. Male to male relationships. Female to female relationships. These are lesbians, homosexuals, married people who want to have sex relations with someone else while remaining married. This is a full page of urgent and ardent requests for relationships. We better know what's going on and deepen our faith, our humility, and our chastity. How firmly do I believe that the Son of God became man for me? And that, in working on the catechisms I'm doing now, if there's one thing that comes out in the Catechism of the Catholic Church repeatedly, section after section, the foundation of our faith is belief that the Son of Mary is the Son of the living God, the Creator of heaven and earth, who became man. How aware am I of the angels? I won't ask for a raising of hands. How many of you pray every day to the angels? All right, put up your hands. How many? Start praying to the angels. And by the way, you won't like this, but so what? There's those of us who pray to our guardian angels. Tonight, let's ask our guardian angel to keep those people awake who are not in the habit of praying to their guardian angels until they start praying to their guardian angels. Pardon me. If you can't fall asleep tonight, you'll know why. How much do I listen to him, to my guardian angel? Am I convinced that God will work miracles in my life, provided I trust in God? That's what the angel told Mary. Mary, perfectly willing to become the mother of the Creator, but she did say, in effect, I want to live a virginal life. So the angel told her about Elizabeth. For God, miracles are, well, that's daily routine. And he wants to work miracles. He does. The only condition is that we believe. Do not go on to parts two or three as long as you are doing, gathering fruit from part one. Then set a definite time limit to your meditation. Now for most people, not so much a time limit. Keep looking at the watch. I've got 11 more minutes to go. And finally, before you close, pray to our Lord, asking for the graces that you need. Light, strength, patience, and charity. And let's read the prayer we've got. And let's read it together. Lord Jesus, you are our God who became man to show us the way to true happiness in this life and to perfect happiness in the life to come. Teach us how to meditate every day on your earthly life in Palestine. Make us realize that this meditation is absolutely necessary to please you and bring to you all the soul that you want to say through us before you call us into eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Institute on Religious Life has presented these lectures by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. All rights are reserved. Any duplication or reproduction of this material in any media form without the express written consent of the Institute on Religious Life is strictly prohibited. For more information on other material in this series or on the Institute on Religious Life, call area code 313-930-7470.
The way to true happiness in this life and to perfect happiness in the life to come. Teach us how to meditate every day on your earthly life in Palestine. Make us realize that this meditation is absolutely necessary to please you and bring to you all the soul that you want to say through us before you call us into eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Institute on Religious Life has presented these lectures by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. All rights are reserved. Any duplication or reproduction of this material in any media form without the express written consent of the Institute on Religious Life is strictly prohibited. For more information on other material in this series or on the Institute on Religious Life, call area code 313-930-7470.